You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
This story that Bloomberg reported last year, it has definitely stayed with me. It was about how the U.S. population is 13% black, and yet just 4% of the VC industry is African American. This was according to some 2018 data from the National Venture Capital Association. There are individuals like our next guest who are looking to change that and help minority entrepreneurs in particular, as are some big companies, because recently Nike partnered up with Black Girl Ventures to provide $500,000 to fund Black and brown women identifying founders of companies. So let's find out more about that and the work that Black Girl Ventures has been doing since it was founded back in 2016. Shelley Bell is joining us. She's founder and CEO at Black Girl Ventures, and she joins us on the phone from Washington, D.C. Shelley, really nice to have you here on Bloomberg. How are you? And tell me a little bit about your organization.
Hi. Yeah, nice to be here. Super excited. So with Black Girl Ventures, we work to create access to capital, capacity, and community in order to help Black and brown founders sustain and grow their businesses. One of the ways we do this is we have a unique way of providing capital through our pitch competition. And that competition is like Kickstarter and Shark Tank put together. So women pitch their businesses, and it is crowdfunded. And so the audience actually votes with their dollars for the pitch that they favor most, and then we grant that capital to those winners. We've also stretched across the city, so I'm across the country.
Explain this. So, I love it. Wait, I want you to break it down for me. So you're telling me that entrepreneurs, they pitch to an audience, and then the audience actually votes with money?
Yes. At Black Girl Ventures, we created a crowdfunded pitch competition. So, you know, while, you know, the stats you just mentioned, 4% of the VC industry being black, and, you know, less than 1% of black women or black women receiving access to VC capital, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, what can we do? Mm-hmm. And so I created this unique way of engaging people, democratizing access to capital. While we wait for everyone to become more equitable, we still, as underrepresented groups, have to stay in business. And so my thought was, what could we do? And this is what we could do. We can activate people to actually engage with people to vote with their dollars to provide access to capital.
Well, and tell me about this, because you've been doing it for a few years now. What's been the payoff of this?
Yeah, I mean, when we're doing just purely, you know, access to capital, you could, from in terms of like without any sponsors in the beginning, we were still able to provide anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars. I mean, now with our efforts becoming more visible at Black Girl Ventures and having awesome partners like Nike, Visa, Warby Parker, Equilibria, Cool House, like just amazing partners that we're able to work with now, Rare Beauty Brands. We're actually able to get our community more capital through the partnerships and connecting them to bigger partners. So, for example, with the Rare Beauty Brands competition, it was a clean beauty competition, the first one in the country, and we partnered up with Ulta Beauty. And so the winner of that competition, not only did they receive $10,000 plus their crowdfunded capital, they got an opportunity to sell their products on ultabeauty.com.
Wow. So it is really a combination of Shark Tank, American Idol, like all these things in terms of doing it. But, you know, it speaks to, though, what is a very significant problem, in that there's not equal access to capital or fundraising, you know, rounds for all individuals.
No, there's not. And I mean, there's not equal access. There's not equity when it comes to loans. There's not equity when it comes to capital. So at Black Girl Ventures, we try to combat that with this crowdfunding competition. On top of that, we also have a fellowship. So with this Nike partnership, we will be launching in Chicago. It is a 9-month fellowship, not only focused on business owners, but focused on them becoming business leaders. We need more voices at the table. And that's what I've learned through our efforts at Black Girl Ventures, is that having more voices at the table, voices in the community that are amplified, visibility, we feel like people will be able to engage in supporting these groups.
Right.
So it's been an amazing journey.
Yeah, it's creating role models for people to follow, but it's also creating a network, correct, an infrastructure. And we've just got about 30 seconds, and then we'll come back and do more, but you're developing that.
Absolutely. So, you know, each one teach one to fund one.
for talking with Shelley Bell, founder and CEO at Black Girl Ventures. She's still with us on the phone in Washington, D.C. Shelley, you guys have funded, I think, roughly 130 women. And I'm just curious, talk to me a little bit more about what happens to these women, where by providing them with a little bit of funding, what happens to them as an entrepreneur? What happens to them as a business, you know, owner? What happens to them maybe as someone who's able to kind of pass it along and mentor somebody else?
Yeah, great question. We, at Black Girl Ventures, we also provide them with more resources after they pitch. And so they get an opportunity to go through an accelerator program, to be a part of a larger community. They get an opportunity to get access to Google Cloud credits, Amazon credits. Also, we have different tech partners, Salesforce, HubSpot. We also connect them to people. But one of the things that I would say that they can do with the capital, especially in today's society where everything is so connected to tech, is they can market. You know, they can put the money into ads. They can actually hire or keep on a freelancer for another month or two. And those kinds of things extend their capacity and, you know, and also so capital capacity and community of Black Girl Ventures.
Well, and I'm guessing that there is also a sensitivity and maybe a deliberateness, you know, being deliberate in terms of their supply chains. Because one of the conversations, Shelley, that we've had certainly here at Bloomberg, and especially in light of what happened to George Floyd and just trying to understand the racism within, you know, the society at large, is the importance of companies, big companies, that when they're thinking about their supply chain, to make sure it's diverse, like, you know, that money talks essentially. And that's how we're going to move the needle here.
100%. I mean, access to capital can look like a few things. At Black Girl Ventures, we believe that access to capital could be a larger customer, right? And so when you talk about diversifying the supply chain, that's what we're looking at, people being able to get into supplier diversity efforts that allow them to get access to a larger customer. And this is why the government, the U.S. government's efforts around supplier and around, like, contracts is so important, because them being able to get access to the government even as a customer is super important to diversifying. And being able to level up your company. I mean, prior to me operating Black Girl Ventures, I owned a print shop. Mm-hmm. And I was able to level up by doing swag and merch orders for Amazon and Google. And I mean, you know, considering that journey, took that, invested in what is Black Girl Ventures today to grow this as a nonprofit, really focused on creating more access to more women. So if you look at that thread, right, now me learning how to do that through, like, working with Google and working with Amazon, and also getting a bigger customer through Google and Amazon, right? And then moving into creating this, which now has created access to capital for 130 and counting women across the country.
Right. Just think about how it spreads out. How, go back to, though, when you were creating your printing shop, how easy was it? Or if you needed funds, how difficult was it?
Yeah, my mom actually gave me part of her retirement for me to invest in my print shop. And I used my tax return to buy my own machine because through just like reading and researching about entrepreneurship, I realized that I could, if I could own my manufacturing, I could actually leverage my machines through insurance and through potentially, if I had to, like renting it out to other people running the same kind of business I was running. So I think like these different ways of access and capital could be that you own an asset that you then can leverage. It could be using your credit. It could be, like I said, my mom gave me her retirement. And we were, my mom's an accountant, and she is always, she's my ride or die, as we would say. Like, she's the one like, hey, okay, for all of my crazy ideas.
Right, but lucky that you had something like that. You know, it's interesting, and I am curious too, that what you would like to, like, what needs to happen to the big banking industry in terms of reaching out to communities? I know you have community bankers, but, you know, we recently talked with the former head of the FDIC, Sheila Bair, and, about this specifically in terms of the responsibility of the big bank industry to make sure that there is diversity in lending and that they're reaching out.
Yeah, I think we just need to, across the board, stop looking at one-size-fits-all solutions. One application for every business is not the way that we're going to diversify at all. And I think that some storytelling is going to have to start to be involved. Now, you know, a lot of times when it comes to big banking or big industry, they're thinking about scale, and they think of that as the metric. Well, when you scale and you focus on scale and numbers, you're going to lose out on voices that matter. You're going to lose out on really great ideas and really awesome businesses that could be funded. And so, you know, I wonder what a world would look like where we put people first and scale second.
Yeah, right? Like, it's just a different way. We were talking about yesterday with another guest over at the Aspen Institute, and just this whole idea of, you know, the priorities of companies and you know, this multiple stakeholders. We really need to kind of reorient ourselves. Just quickly, one last question. The Biden administration, the African-American community, very supportive of Joe Biden's election. So now that he's president, what do we need to see from him in terms of, you know, making sure that capital is around for everyone, especially within the Black and brown communities? What else needs to be done in your view?
Well, the administration has a big feat on their hands because they have to rebuild trust. I think that's going to be really, really important. It's awesome to see the first woman of color VP and celebrate that, and that be a huge inspiration to women everywhere for that being a historical moment. I think it just now is going to be like, okay, let's see where the efforts land for the Biden administration. We are optimistic, I believe. I'm a serial optimist, so I am optimistic. But consistency, trust, delivery. I mean, I can speak personally that the HBCU Cares Act was a huge move for me being a parent, a single parent who is supporting two children in college. So at Black Girl Ventures, we're looking for consistency. We want to rebuild trust with our government. We want to rebuild trust among our constituents with what it means for access.
Right. Well, listen, good luck with your venture, and hopefully you'll come back and let us know how things are going. Shelley Bell, founder and CEO at Black Girl Ventures, on the phone from Washington, D.C.